Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
Verse 11 of Matthew 5, he says, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Persecution is when someone intentionally mistreats you or has some animosity or malice toward you or excludes you because of righteousness. Because of Christ. And it doesn't matter if it comes from outside the church or inside the church. In fact, most persecution comes from inside the church because they're the people who really are worked up enough to care. And last week we talked about some of the blessedness of the persecution in this life, the blessedness that you receive right away when you're persecuted. There are priceless benefits that you get immediately whenever you're persecuted. For example, the honor of bringing special glory to Christ, or the honor of participating in Christ's redemptive work, or the special fellowship with Christ that you have when you participate in his sufferings, that fellowship that is so wonderful, it's worth any amount of suffering. So those are the immediate, instant rewards that are implied by the comparison with the prophets, I think, and affirmed throughout the New Testament. We studied that last week. But Jesus' explicit focus here is not so much on the immediate blessedness here and now in this life, but rather on the future blessedness in heaven. The benefits here and now are wonderful enough to make any amount of suffering worth it, more than worth it. However, those benefits, those immediate benefits that we studied last week, are nothing compared to the heavenly reward. And by paying careful attention to Jesus' promise of heavenly reward, we can prepare ourselves for persecution, and we'll be able to stand firm all the way to the end. So there's three things in this, three parts to verse 12, and each of those three parts is going to help us prepare for suffering. First, it begins with a command. Rejoice and be glad. That's the first part of the verse. Rejoice and be glad. If we want to be among those who persevere all the way to the end, and not among those who fall away when persecution comes, we need to obey this command, rejoice and be glad every time persecution comes into your life, every time you experience it. And what I've realized these past couple weeks is that if we're waiting until the really big persecution comes in order to do this, we're missing the point. Last week I told you about a little story about some really minor persecution that I suffered that week. I tried to be nice to somebody for Jesus' sake, and he responded with insults. That's persecution. And honestly, if I hadn't been studying this passage at the time, I think it probably would have never even occurred to me to rejoice and be glad because great is my reward in heaven for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before me. Wouldn't even have entered my mind. It was such a minor thing. But I realized, if I fail to recognize something like that as persecution, and I fail to obey the command to rejoice and be glad over it, and if I don't learn how to rejoice and be glad over small persecutions, how am I ever going to learn how to rejoice and be glad over big persecution? Jesus didn't give a size of the persecution. In fact, as we saw last week, he focused mostly on more minor things, the verbal things. Some of you have suffered all kinds of things. You've lost a job, or you've gone without work for a time because of your commitment to Christ. Some of you have lost your spouse. Some of you lost parents, children, because of Christ. All of us who are Christians have been insulted at some level, excluded, ignored, mistreated in some way because of righteousness. And Jesus couldn't be more clear. When that happens, rejoice and be glad. Whenever that happens, rejoice and be glad. So step one in preparing for what's coming is to train our hearts to rejoice at absolutely every instance of persecution. No matter how big or how small, develop a reflex every time you receive any kind of mistreatment because of Christ or because of righteousness, a reflex of just rejoicing and celebrating. And I can tell you, as I've been doing that these last few weeks, I've noticed a profound impact on my heart. It's drawn me nearer to Christ, and it's increased my love for Him in wonderful ways. Celebrating a special reward because of suffering for Him is something that it just has a way of awakening the heart to a special closeness to Him that's just different than from other kinds of fellowship with Christ. It's a very wonderful thing. And if you experience that special closeness, I think, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times between now and when the big persecution comes, surely that would go a long way in enabling you to stand firm when the persecution comes. Weeks and months and years of rejoicing in persecution so that the hope of this promise of reward becomes such a real part of your soul that it brings hope, and it's just an automatic reflex whenever you suffer. That's one way we prepare. Another benefit of doing that, by the way, not only will it prepare you, but it'll give us the right perspective about suffering. You know, one of the reasons why some people can't handle suffering, I think, is because it comes to them as a surprise. They're not expecting it. They have this attitude that everything is supposed to work out the way you plan. That's the way life's supposed to go. And if it doesn't, they're not ready for that. They're not prepared. They recoil at every setback and every trial and every struggle and every hardship as if something strange were happening to them. And then when the hardship is over and the suffering is gone, they say, oh, now things are back to normal. No, that's not normal. The suffering is normal. And those people never have good success at handling suffering because they're just not ready for it. It's an intrusion into their lives. Jesus wanted people to know that following Him would mean suffering, and He wanted them to think that through beforehand and anticipate it. We look forward to suffering. And I think if we have this mentality of always rejoicing over small sufferings for Christ, we'll be watching for it. And it won't be a shock to our system that throws us off kilter. Jesus wanted us to know that suffering was going to come and to think it through. I think too many people have decided to become Christians without counting the cost in our world. A minute ago, I mentioned the parable of the soils. In that parable, people who fall away because of persecution fall away, it says, because of the shallowness of their roots. And that seems to be related to the quickness with which they accepted the gospel. Let me read it to you. Verse 20, Matthew 13. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. And if that word at once in verse 20 is the same Greek word for quickly in verse 21. It's the same Greek word. So when trouble comes, when persecution comes, they collapse like a house of cards because of how quickly they accepted Christianity in the first place. They quickly accept it and they quickly drop it. They didn't think it through. These are the people that go to a concert and are moved by the music and they come forward in the invitation just because they're so worked up emotionally, but they haven't thought through the implications of what this commitment really is and what it means to suffer for Christ and what it might involve. Or they hear an evangelist or some pastor talk about how Jesus will solve all your problems and everything will be wonderful, and so they profess Christ as their Savior almost on a whim. And that's not to say that you can't accept the gospel the same day you hear it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you need to think through the cost. People need to think through what it means in order for their faith to go deep. That's why we're not doing anybody any favors when we soften the message and we hide the hard parts of the gospel from people just so that they'll accept Christ, and then we tell them that later. Jesus did the exact opposite of that. He never softened it. In fact, He seemed to even harden it. He went out of His way to tell people about the hard parts. You know this thing about, you know, Jesus loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, and He wants you to be wealthy and healthy and happy and just accept Jesus. And that's it. That's all there is to their gospel presentation. Compare that to Jesus' gospel presentation in Luke 14:26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Who's interested? He went on. And anyone who does not carry his cross. And these people had witnessed crucifixions. Anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Verse 33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. People who become Christians on a whim have shallow roots and they can't withstand persecution. They just kind of drift into Christianity and they just drift right back out when the winds change. We'll never be ready for persecution if we don't expect it. And this is especially important, by the way, for teenagers. In our culture, I think the place where Christians tend to be persecuted the most is in universities. That's where it happens. There is always some anti-Christian professor who's just a bully, just delights in humiliating Christian students. There's always at least one of those. And it seems like in every secular college, and standing up to him is going to be hard. It's going to be hard because he's got control of the venue. He's got his notes in front of him. He's practiced this for 20 years. And then you're responding off the top of your head. You know, he's got some first-year college student that hasn't really thought through this, and he's got control of the class. And he can really, very often, make you look like a fool in front of everybody. Not only that, he's got control of your grade, and he can. And there are Christians who very often have to fail a class just to stand up for what they believe. And it can cost you. It can cost you money if you fail a class. It can be humiliating in front of everybody. And in some cases, they're so forceful, those professors are so forceful and so persuasive, that the Christian students end up doubting the gospel. And if they don't, they're at least made to look like morons in front of everyone. So teenagers really need this, because everyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution, but especially in college, if you go to a secular school. So we need to expect it. And if you expect it, if you rejoice every time you have small persecution, it'll train you to look for it and watch for it and actually rejoice. Since you're rejoicing in it, it won't scare you. So expect persecution. Think long and hard about the implications of what it means to follow Christ so that your roots go really deep. And then when it happens, rejoice. Lord, be blessed.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.